City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another Mandan edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, along with Jim Neubauer, Mandan City Administrator, and we are in the studios at Dakota Media Access on Wednesday, January 3rd.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Hey, Happy New Year.
Hey, thank you very much.
Here we are. It's a clean slate.
It is Happy New Year because temperatures are on the rise.
There
you go. We're kind of happy about that.
At least we're not sub-zero.
This is true.
By double digits. City Commission meeting last night was fairly brief.
Right. I think we went about 45 minutes.
So shorter than average.
Absolutely.
A couple of agenda items that I thought we'd bring up. One of them was under old business, so it's coming back to the commission again, and that is a revision or a repeal of the appeals process.
You know, fondly known as the repeal of the appeal process. City Commission, Planning and Zoning have had both members on a committee that have been working on this probably for the last 4 or 5 months in order to, one, clarify and also help simplify and provide more opportunities for folks during the whole planning and zoning process to bring their concerns to the commission.
And your city engineer, Justin Froseth, brought it forward, and he's been working with the committee, correct?
Absolutely. We had our city planner, Bob Decker, had been working with several commissioners on this before Bob moved back to Arizona or New Mexico, I believe.
Good timing on his part.
Very, very good timing on Bob's part, and we hope his weather is a lot nicer than ours, which I'm sure it is. So Justin wanted to bring an update. This committee met, I believe, the week before Christmas, and kind of said, okay, let's kind of try and put the final touches on this repeal of the appeal ordinance. So they've developed a flowchart to help both developers, property owners, and John Q. Public kind of walk through that process.
Yeah, we've got the graphic up on the screen. Obviously, radio listeners cannot see this, but kind of separates the process for a developer into three different phases.
Yep, it's if you look at the flowchart, it's kind of daunting to look at right away. But if you, and our attorney's jobs right now are to put the flowchart into code. Code is a lot more challenging to read sometimes for layperson like myself and others. Therefore, we think the flowchart is a really good start to say, okay, here's the process. Here's how it lays out. Here's your time frames that need to be met. Here's all kinds of things that we think that the public will be interested in knowing about.
Yeah, it's kind of a step-by-step helpful, I would hope, for developers. But there were a number of pieces that recommendations that came forward last night. One of them was to require that a developer would come through with a master plan for any adjacent property. That seems to make sense.
Right. When we look at big picture items, you may have 75 or 100 acres that you want, that you own and want to develop, but you may start out with 20 acres to start out with. What we want to see in the master plan and make it a requirement now is say, what is the rest of your 100 acres going to look like, so that we're not just piecemealing a project together, and we want to make sure that these pieces of development play nice together and they work well.
Well, and I think it avoids surprises in the long run. Another piece that was recommended from the committee last night was that preliminary plats would be required at the initial planning and zoning committee meetings as well.
Again, another item that planning and zoning will get involved in, where sometimes a preliminary plat could go to the city commission directly, and we want the planning and zoning members to have a chance to look at it, and also gives the public another opportunity to comment on that preliminary plat.
A third piece was expanding the notification of adjoining property owners from 300 feet to 500 feet and requiring that a map be submitted at the same time.
Right. And again, more transparency in this part from us that say, if there's a development going to occur within 300 feet of you, we will send you a letter that says, here's what we think is going on. But there's no map attached. We may have one on our website. You may call the office and say, hey, what's this about? Now what will be required after we adopt the ordinances would be that we will send a letter and also a map along with that, so that the public can see, okay, here's what's happening. And again, expand that notification from 300 feet to 500 feet.
It makes sense. All little steps to lead to more transparency right. for the process.
Little steps, and again, hopefully when folks get that, and if they have concern, they can bring that into planning and zoning, bring it into our engineer's office, and say, okay, we have got questions on this. Please tell us more about the development.
So what's the next step for this committee that's repealing the appeals process?
Next step is that committee really, I think, has pretty much completed its work. So it is making a recommendation to staff and to the commission to say, here's what we would like to see drafted in ordinances. Okay. So right now, the ordinances are being drafted to fall in line with the flow chart that we presented.
So we'll see it come back to the commission for approval or that process.
Right. And it will, again, with our ordinances, it will need a first reading and second reading. So the commission and the public will have a couple times to chime in and share their thoughts.
Step through the process.
Right. And we had a resident last night also share their thoughts on what they thought of the process, too. Mm-hmm. So there have been several opportunities for folks to provide input.
Yeah.
Which is what we're all about.
We'll watch it come up on another agenda. Another item on your agenda last night is kind of a fun, cool project that's coming up is a Renaissance Zone project.
Yes.
Rehabbing a historic structure, which is always exciting to see. And this is kind of a landmark building in downtown Mandan. Well, it's recognizable, let's put it that way.
Yep.
And we do have a picture of it up on the screen. The address is 107 First Avenue Northwest. Built in the 1930s?
I think built in the 30s. Some folks will remember it as, used to be called the Clinic Building, I believe, if my recollection is right. There was a dentist office upstairs, and apparently there are still dental chairs up there. I think Doc Wirtz was practicing dentist upstairs, and there have been, the building, I don't believe, has ever been vacant that I'm aware of. There have been accounting firms, there's legal firms that have been in there and still occupy there today. So the Redmonds we'll be purchasing that building shortly and in turn rehabbing it and doing some pretty cool things with it.
And this is a couple that are currently operating in downtown Bismarck, but are Mandan residents taking over the building, buying the building, as you say, rehabbing it, moving their law offices primarily in here, but they will have other tenants as well.
They do have room for other tenants. And again, we're kind of excited that, when someone buys a historic building, and they want to keep the integrity of that building intact. And the Redmonds, and along with their architects, have done a really nice job of saying, we like it. It's recognizable. Yeah. It's kind of a landmark. So we want to keep a lot of the architectural features that it has.
It's got that kind of a European flair to it, kind of a design that is fun and kind of unique around here. You don't quite see this kind of trim work around the doors and windows. So it's nice to see that people are valuing these kind of features and what makes it special and unique. And
right. Windows will be replaced. And I think, again, they will keep the architectural, the main features of the building intact and enhance what is already there.
We have a graphic on the screen as well, kind of showing the before and after. It's a little difficult to read. There's a lot of detail there, but it kind of gives you some idea. But they're investing in a substantial amount of money into this structure. And what they came forward for to the city last night was Renaissance Zone consideration, which was approved.
Approved by the City Commission last night. It also received approval from the Renaissance Zone Committee back in late 2017. Also last night, there was a storefront improvement grant.
Sure.
Forgivable loan that was provided to them to assist with that renovation. And like I said, what'll be interesting, and we'll come back, we'll take some, obviously we have the before pictures.
Mm-hmm.
When they're done with the rehab and all that good stuff, we'll have some after pictures.
What is the timeline, Jim, on this project?
Off the top of my head.
I didn't hear last night, so I would assume they're moving forward fairly soon.
They'll close on the building, and in turn, I think the renovations will start, and I think probably by the summer. They should be in and ready to go.
It'll be a fun one to watch.
Absolutely. We're pretty excited about it because it's one of those buildings that is kind of iconic downtown, and it's nice to see local folks making an investment in downtown because they like to see the things that are happening downtown. They want to be a part of it, and that was one of the reasons they chose Mandan to move their law office to.
Nice. Another piece of new business last night was the creation of another portfolio for the City Commission, and that was for a portfolio to be on the Water Resource District, a representative to be seated there.
Yep, a couple actions related to the Lower Hart Water Resource District. As many folks know, or if they don't, that really, there's a three-member board that governs the Lower Hart It's basically the diking or the levee system that is west of Mandan, runs through the city of Mandan, and then south to kind of the confluence of the Missouri and the Heart River. The Lower Heart Water District really is appointed by the Morton County Commission, and in turn, they looked at the Morton County Commission last week, expanded that board from 3 members to 5 members. Mm. And the importance of it right now is, you know, with we're looking at the potential certification of that levee system because of ice jams and water flows and things like that. There's some things on the levee system that need to be done and some work that is pretty substantial.
Right.
Therefore, we thought it would be helpful to create that portfolio. So Mayor Helbling will be the portfolio holder.
That makes a lot of sense. Obviously, this levee is of great concern to the citizens of Mandan. So now to have an official place on that district board makes a lot of sense. Yep.
There will be, like I said, a couple different actions last night. We created the portfolio. Mayor Helbling was appointed as the portfolio holder. We also, there's a study group that was created by the Morton County Commission to look at both the Lower Heart Water Resource District and the Morton County Water Resource District, because there is a separate water board for both.
But they overlap, right?
Really, the Morton County Water District kind of takes care of all those issues in Morton County. And the Lower Heart has kind of the responsibility of the levee system and the operations of that levee system in and around Mandan. So there's two kind of different missions and what...
Their geography overlaps.
Yep, geography overlaps a little bit.
Right now are somewhat different.
Tasks are very different. And what the county commission created the study group for is to say, are there some things that we should be doing together? Should there be one board that governs all of it? And in turn... should that happen, or are their missions so uniquely different that they should remain separate?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this study group will accomplish. Commissioner Labor was appointed to that study group.
Okay.
And so, like I said, last week Morton County Commission expanded the Lower Heart Water Resources Board from 3 to 5. And therefore, you know, there I think there is one opening on that board. And I know Commissioner Labor is interested in being on the Lower Heart Water Resources Board. She's been appointed to the study group, and the mayor has a portfolio, which in the long run makes some sense, because to have two city commissioners involved in what we anticipate to be a pretty major project is always a good thing.
Yeah. We have in the last, I believe, in about year or so started televising the Burley County mm-hmm. Water Resource District board meetings. They are a monthly meeting, and... Yeah. There are a number of items always included in those meetings that are very interesting and affect the community at large. This water issue is going to be increasingly important as we move forward in the future for our kids, for what's coming after us, definitely. So I think this is a wonderful move that this communication, this line of communication has now been put forward with the city. I think it's a great move.
Yep, in the Lower Heart Water Resource District, I think their next meeting, they usually meet the second Thursday of the month, and their next meeting in January will be at the Veterans Conference Room in City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll see what occurs after that. They'll have to kind of reorganize now that they have an increased membership. And we'll see what happens from
here. We'll see what the study group comes up with as well, and be interesting to see how they move forward. Another fun project that came back to the commission last night, even though it's new business, is the new Mandan Depot Beer Hall.
Right.
The new business on the agenda last night was the granting of a new liquor license, a Class F.
Correct.
And the Class F is beer only. 50-50
food and beer sales.
Okay.
Beer and wine, I believe, is what it is. So,
it is.
Yep.
Okay.
Edgar and...
Good to know.
Yeah. And I think we'll show some pictures here of the interior remodeling that they've done on the building.
Look at that. That's such a beautiful building. It's definitely a landmark. The landmark possibly for the city of Mandan.
Yep. They've done just a tremendous amount of work in there. And one of the things that, you know, this has been kind of almost a 2-year process mm-hmm. now, when we first started having discussions with Aaron Barth from the Fort Lincoln Foundation and Edgar Oliveira. And like I said, it's finally coming to fruition.
Yeah.
And the improvements that they're making to the building are just incredible. Beautiful. We're looking at, when I first went over there with Edgar and he showed me, well, here's the carpet that they decided to put down, I don't know how many years ago. And so they have cleaned up, I believe, the terrazzo floors in there.
Amazing.
And polished them. They've done a lot of restoration of the original woodwork.
Beautiful.
A lot of the tile work has been done. They've got some seating in there.
Yeah, I mean, this building has been occupied for a long time. Fort Lincoln Foundation has been there along with Five Nations Art.
Correct.
And they continue to hold the lease. But this process of the beer hall is a sublease property.
City Manning renegotiated the lease with Fort Lincoln Foundation with the intent that there would be a subtenant or a sublessee, and that was Edgar and his crew.
So they're getting close, right?
They are getting close.
This is real close.
They had some plumbing issues that they had to deal with, that they had a little trouble finding workarounds, that they have done that now. And I think Edgar, from our conversations last night, they're looking at towards the end of January of being open. So, okay.
And then, as I understand it, Five Nations Art will still have a presence, that the artwork will be displayed in the dining hall, in the hall itself.
Yep, I think part of the agreement and part of the discussions with Five Nations Art, Five Nations Art still has their store open in the depot. They're in an area just on the east.
Okay.
Of where they currently or where they were before. It is obviously a smaller area. They do have art and they do have things like that displayed in there currently. So Five Nations Art is still open and you're still looking there. Mm-hmm. And we just want to make sure that folks know that. And the discussions that I think Aaron and Edgar have been, there will be some wall art displayed in the beer hall.
Nice.
So we look forward to that. And, if people have been in Station West, another one of Edgar's projects, you will see artwork hanging on the walls around in there. And we envision something similar inside the depot.
Great way to decorate, if you will, and bring in local flavor at the same time. And
yeah, it'll be, I had a little mix up last night and I thought that we had a misspelling on beer hall, but I guess in the world of Germans,
it's the old world
B-I-E-R
spelling. Beer.
As beer hall, not B-E-E-R as most of us recognize it. So like I said, we're pretty excited and we think Edgar's done a great job in there.
He mentioned too that once they're open and spring comes, they'll be working on a patio that'll face out towards the railroad tracks. And we've talked about that before. There's new fencing going in to allow that view of seeing what's going on in the railroad yards. And
So I think that's Edgar's plan, is to be able to create that patio atmosphere out on the area right to the south of the depot. Yeah. And new fencing will, go up this spring. And like I said, we're really cleaning that area up. And not that it's a bad area right now, but I think we're just enhancing what's there. With the fencing and also with Edgar's project here, I think we're going to have going to be a destination point, and we're pretty excited to have it going on.
So this month yet?
Yes.
Is the target anyway?
That's the target, and we'll keep everybody updated.
Will you be there
and
on opening night?
Edgar does have a Facebook page out there, the Mandan B-I-E-R Hall, I believe. So if you're interested in updating, and I think he has some pictures of their renovation work on there right now.
Yeah, he's really proud, as he should be. That's
absolutely
a lot of work. And really being true to the building, I think, is commendable.
Yep, and that's when we first started talking about this project is, Edgar really, and Aaron both, I think they've been a great partnership to walk in and say, okay, we want to keep the history of this building intact. We're not going to do something that just totally takes away from it. And I think when someone walks in there for the first time now, they're going to be just very pleased with the work that's been done to date.
I can't wait. That'll be fun. Do you know if it'll be open just evenings, or is it?
They will do from our latest information, it will be kind of a counter service during lunchtime.
Oh.
So you'll go up to the counter and get your meal and take it to your, I think it'll be communal style seating.
Sure. That'd be a nice addition downtown,
yep.
I would think.
In the evening, they're hoping to do
service
at the table.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll be checking that out.
Absolutely.
Moving off the agenda from last night into some other topics that are coming up. And we've touched on this before. We've talked about elections that are going to be coming up. And the primary election is June 12th.
Correct.
But right now, it's time to start circulating your petitions if you're thinking of running for office.
After the first of the year, you can begin circulating petitions. We have information and helpful links on our City of Mandan com website. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking for the proper forms to fill out, you know, we usually link you to the Secretary of State's address so that we're not creating, you know, two different sets of forms and things like that. We'll just send you to the Secretary of State's office. Download the forms.
nd.gov.
Yep. And like I said, so the several positions, I think we have two city commission spots open right now. I think there
you did. You and you sent something out because I'm signed up on your from your website to get updates from the city of Mandan, which anyone can do.
Nice plug.
It is.
Very
thank
good.
Thank you. About offices and openings on the various boards and commissions involved in Mandan and Morton County.
Right.
So this was kind of a nice summary of offices and positions that will be open and open for election.
Yep. So we give the dates on, you know, you can start circulating petitions now. Mm-hmm. I think in April is the due date on when you have to have your signatures
April 9th, 4 o'clock.
We indicate, you know, after we get those petitions in, we need to go through a process of verifying signatures. And again, we like to remind people, name, address, signature, zip code, all those things need to be filled out or else that signature is invalid.
And there's a requirement, it's a little different for any office too, is a requirement for how many signatures that you actually need.
Right. We like to say the maximum that we can ask for is 300. Mm-hmm. And so we always ask folks, you may only need, you know, 250 or 200 signatures is the minimum. Mm-hmm. But we encourage folks to get 300 or get more because sometimes people will sign twice. Sometimes people will be living in the county.
Sure.
And they'll be signing for someone running in the city and
some
we'll have
of them
to
are
cross those out.
Eligible.
Right.
So that makes it difficult. Some of the offices that are will be opening, you have 2 4-year terms for City Commission right now in the city of Mandan. Southwest Water Authority has 1 4-year term. Mandan Park Board will have 3 4-year terms coming up for re-election or election, I should say. And the Mandan School Board has 3 3-year terms.
Right. Mandan School Board has 3 3-year terms, and one of those terms is a rural representative.
It has to be
so
a rural,
you're
from the rural
outside
area.
Of the
city
corporate limits of the city of Mandan, but you are within the Mandan Public School District boundaries. And so that is set up that way. I think Sheldon Wolf is that representative now. And so like I said, if you're interested in any of these positions, you can contact the park board, the school board, the city, the Morton County Commission, and we'll answer questions.
And Morton County does have a number of positions that are going to be opening up here.
Yep.
But this would be a primary for Morton County.
Right. You know, it's interesting, as I was attending the Morton County Commission last week, they talked about, they've had a couple public input meetings on, I think, the Morton County Recorder and the Morton County Treasurer's Office on whether those should continue to be elected or should they be kind of appointed. And the county commission last Tuesday night heard from, you know, a couple people that are currently working in the treasurer's office and working in the recorder's office said, you know, we are willing to step up and run for these positions because we know that the Morton County Recorder is going to retire. Carol is going to step down and also Vicki Lippert as the Morton County Treasurer.
Okay.
And therefore, I think there are folks that have been in those offices for many years that indicated we will be out there getting signatures. We're willing to run. And therefore, the county commissioner said, all right, let's vote to, and they voted to keep those as elected positions.
Well, those kinds of conversations seem to come to the surface periodically. So.
And I think they're really good conversations to have because,
absolutely.
You know, if you always want to have good qualified candidates running for offices and, you know, no matter what background you have, it's a matter of, you know, a lot of common sense goes a long way in these offices, whether they're city, county, park board, school board, whatever. So
I did want to mention, too, that for the county, there are 2 4-year terms available, county commission. There also is the sheriff's position and the state's attorney's position, obviously very specialized types of positions. Yep. All of these and this information regarding the requirements and your process to go through, you provided to me this morning through the North Dakota League of Cities website. I thought that was really interesting that we want to bring that up real quick here. North Dakota League of Cities .org, ndlc.org. You can get there from there, and you can get that information. From there, jumping into government basics. And this was a really good piece of information here. It really talks about the basics. What's the expectation of these various positions?
I think that League of Cities does a great job of putting this together. And like I said, if you're interested and you're not sure, well, if I get elected to city commission, what kind of are our roles?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. We always encourage from a staff standpoint to say, if you're interested in running for city commission or the mayor's spot or whatever, go have a conversation with one of them.
Yeah.
You know, go talk to Commissioner Brown, Commissioner Labor, Commissioner Davis, or Commissioner Rohr, and Mayor Helbling. Sit down, have coffee with them. They're more than willing to talk to folks. And
it's a really good idea.
And we say they will be the ones that will be able to tell you, all right, what's the time commitment?
Mm-hmm.
What are our kind of duties? And what are the issues that we're facing?
Well, if you want to look at the issues, you can just watch them online.
Absolutely.
You can watch all these meetings on our website. We do archive all of these groups, and you'll learn a lot by going through them. And you can walk through them fairly quickly, jump around on the meeting on video on demand. And that's a great way to see what some of the issues are that these groups are dealing with.
Very good plug for Dakota Media.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And you know, from a time period when we weren't live and we weren't on being recorded and things like that till now, I think we've made huge advancements and people are much more transparent. And here's what happens at a city commission meeting. You don't have to be there. You can TiVo it or DVR it too, because we have people who do that because they like to watch these meetings so much.
Yeah.
And you can see what actually happens.
I think we always say it's kind of a win-win-win for everybody, because the public's more involved and knowledgeable when they can watch these meetings. It certainly is a win for the people at the table, because they're held really very accountable, and it really creates a much more informed elected officials as well. Because you can't just come and put your feet up anymore. Not that that ever happened. But, it is all right there. And you see how people have done their homework. And
yep. I think the old adage of the worst thing you could hear at the beginning of a commission meeting was the crack of the binder and the paper.
Absolutely.
From the first time someone's opened it. That does not happen. We certainly, our commissioners, do extensive homework by the number of questions that we get every single day on issues from them. And like I said, a lot of common sense and a lot of doing your homework and educating one about the issues goes a long way. And we encourage, anyone who is interested, sit down with the city commissioner, sit down with myself, sit down with any of our staff, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you about issues that we're facing.
And you might want to start with vote.nd.gov and just go into the Secretary of State's office website, look around in there, educate yourself. Move into the North Dakota League of Cities website. They have a lot of information. City of Mandan has information on elections. Both counties do, because they run the election process.
Right.
So they've got a lot of information out there. Watch the meetings. There's a lot of stuff. We don't have a lot of time. We're pretty much wrapping up here. I just wanted to plug the Mandan Messenger one more time.
Yep.
I've got the shot of the most recent issue. Up the January issue, some fun and exciting things. Mandan is exploring entertainment district possibilities. And you were explaining that, there is a group that from the city that the mayor and yourself and Ellen Huber and others that are working on this big project where the former Super Value, Cash Wise Food, all
former
that was out of that
Central
area.
Market. And,
so it's evolving. But
the plan is in flux now. And like I said, we've had Mayor Helbling, Commissioner Davis, Ellen, and myself, along with Icon Architects. We've been through several iterations of what we can do with this area. We're hoping to bring some things back up to the commission for more discussion
in the
next few months.
This is the fun stage where you're visioning and doing all that. But when reality takes hold, and it will, the public will definitely have an opportunity to provide input as you move these plans forward. And there's a lot of opportunity for private and public partnerships going on here.
Private public investment in this process. Like I said, that was kind of our goal, is to make sure that everything works well together
in
this area. And we're getting close to bringing something back.
And it'll be exciting to see how it does come together. So again, here we are, January 3rd.
2018.
Beginning of the year. Clean slate.
There we go.
Thanks for coming, Jim.
Thanks, Mary. We appreciate it.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.